I'm turning to Matthew 22 and verse 1 and 2. Matthew 22 and verse 1 and 2. And Jesus answered and spoke to them again by parables and said, "The kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who arranged a marriage for his son." And our subject today is a royal invitation. The invitation from the King of Kings in honor of his son. And how kind of the Lord to speak to us in such a simple way, to speak to us in a way that we can understand. And how kind that he would use a parable that we can relate to. The story is of a wedding, a simple story that will illustrate one of the greatest truths. You see, the Lord wants his children to learn the truths of the kingdom. Supposing there was a professor, highly educated professor of a university, who lectured on, say, a very complicated subject. He was an excellent teacher. He knew all the big words. But if we wanted to see what kind of man this was, we would simply see the heart of this man when he takes one of his little children, one of his young children, upon his knee, and he gently explains to them a truth in a loving way, in great clarity, and in great simplicity. And this is what the Lord is doing to us. He is the King of Kings. Yet he gently takes us and he explains to us this truth about the invitation in a very gentle way. Remember, he's the God who thunders and the mountains trembled. He's the God that is so powerful, yet he chose to speak to us, his children, in a gentle, still, small voice. Let us, like Mary, then come and sit at his feet. Let us come and hear his words. Let us have hearts like a child that is teachable. Let us have open hearts. Let us have a spirit that is willing to learn. And as we open this parable together, may we be quickened, may we be strengthened, may we learn the lessons that will help us in our everyday life, that may there be true evidence in our own lives that our hearts are true, that our hearts have truly responded to the invitation. And so now, as we come to these marvelous truths, this parable is recorded in Matthew's Gospel. It was given approximately in the last week of the life of our Lord Jesus Christ, his earthly life, that is, I'm speaking about. And God, knowing all things, surely he knew that there was limited time and he had something urgent that he needed to speak. He wouldn't have just spoken the less urgent things. He spoke and addressed that which was crucial. And now he's addressing mainly the Jews, but this truth goes far beyond the Jews. This is a gospel parable. This is to be preached throughout the entire church age. And it is a parable that contains heart-searching lessons. It contains lessons for every age, for Jew, for Gentile, past, present, and future. The Word of God is always applicable. The Word of God is always valid. So therefore, whosoever has an ear, let them hear. It has also been said that a parable, and also indeed the Word of God, is like a beautiful gemstone that is cut with many facets. You know, depends from which angle you look at it to the light that you will receive, the reflection that will be shining towards you. And this parable is not full of one truth. It is multifaceted. There are many truths which sparkle forth from this parable. And the important message, this important message that is shining brightly amongst us, it shows us, number one, the foolishness and the hardness of the human heart. The response to grace, an invitation went forth, and man wasn't interested. An invitation to a royal wedding, to a royal feast, and yet there was no interest. Man made light of it. It shows the hardness of the heart of man. How can we refuse a royal feast? And then there are so many truths that we are going to see in this. It shows the mercy and the goodness of our Lord. Because you see, when the first group refused, he sent out the invitation again to the highways, to whosoever will hear. Oh, you would have thought that he would have said, that's it. The human race is no longer worthy to hear. But in grace, pure grace, sent forth the invitation once again. It shows God's determination. It shows God's kindness. It shows his mercy. And then there's also instruction that we need to come to the Lord, that we come in righteousness. We don't come in our own righteousness. We can never come in our own wedding garment. And it shows us that the kindness that God gives us this wedding garment. And all this is brought into focus by this parable. The fact that the Father has given us this feast for his Son. So let's begin, and we see salvation of the gospel compared to a wedding feast. And the gospel is a feast. The gospel provides everything that mankind could ever need, that the soul of man could ever desire, everything needed to relieve spiritual hunger, everything needed to reveal and satisfy spiritual thirst. There is pardon, there is peace with God. Oh, there is lively hope in the Word. There is glory in the world to come. And there is rich provision set before us in the gospel. It's a feast of fat things. It's a feast of all things. Oh, there's nothing beyond the provision of the gospel. The gospel, in short, friends, is an offer for food for the hungry, joy for the downcast, a home for the homeless, a loving friend to the lost. And one of the old writers puts it like this: a feast. A feast is for love and for laughter, for fullness and for fellowship. The gospel brings us into fellowship with our Heavenly Father. These are glad tidings. This is good news. Good news that's offered to us through the gospel of his dear Son. There is forgiveness, and God ceases to be angry with us. He came for this purpose. He came to reconcile us. Us who were undeserving. Us who had done wrong in the sight of God. It's a gift. The gift of all gifts. It's the gift of God. And yeah, in his love, he sent forth his Son to take away our sins. So the gospel, as we have seen, is provision for everything, everything your soul could ever need on earth and in eternity. God has already provided his Son. And he urges us to receive his grace freely, without cost, without money, without price, without bringing anything of our own. All expense for the gospel lies with him. At this wedding feast, there were fatted oxen, there were cattle, there was a lot of food, but none of that food was taken from the guests' stalls. None of that food was taken from the guests' fields. The gospel, God paid for everything. The gospel is at his expense. He paid for it. It is priceless. Nothing cost more than this gospel. We know the price. The very blood of our Savior, Jesus Christ, paid for the gospel feast. It cost the sinner nothing. No money, no merit, no preparation is necessary. When we come to the gospel feast, we come just as we are. We come as sinners. We come in need of salvation. We have no righteousness of our own. It's a gift of righteousness that we receive from Jesus Christ. He alone makes us fit for the wedding feast. Just think, friend, an invitation to a royal wedding. What a high honor. What a high honor. Many, many would have never been in such company. What an honor to be able to say, I attended the royal wedding. I attended that feast. I saw the splendor. I saw the festival. Can you imagine the honor of being at such a wedding? But it is a picture of something that's even greater, even greater reality than being at that wedding. It's a picture of what is really offered to us. Nothing honors lost man more than being invited to accept the gospel. Oh, it gives dignity. It adopts us into the family of God. We are made sons and daughters of God. We are made sharers of glory. We are true heirs, heirs of all things. Oh, what a great privilege granted to us. Pure generosity. We earned and deserved none of it. My heart, even now, is stirred within me with holy zeal. I can't understand why some people will refuse such an invitation. I can't understand why there's a banquet of divine love offered, a feast that gives dignity to every guest. How can anyone turn away? How can anybody spurn the great cost that it cost the Father to prepare this feast and say, I'm not interested? Yet, all of this is freely offered to us. Refusal of this tremendous invitation, it reveals such folly. It reveals the foolishness of the unconverted heart, the terrible corruption that sin has wrought in our hearts. To reject such grace, to spurn such grace, such mercy, what do we call it? What do we call this thing beyond foolishness to resist God? To push him aside and say, no, mercy is offered to me, but I'm not interested. We see that sin is so terrible. It blinds people. It blinds people to see their need, to receive anything from the hand of God. maybe your heart is stirred today as you hear this message. I must give an invitation at this very moment. I must cry it out with urgency. Come to the wedding feast. Don't neglect this invitation. You can't say it's God's fault if you're not saved. You can't blame God and say, oh, it's your fault, O Lord. The scripture says everything was made ready. It was ready. The invitation was sent out. All things are ready. Come to the marriage. The Son is ready to pardon. He's ready to wash away every sin, all our guilt. The Holy Spirit is ready to make all things new. Even the angels are waiting. They're ready to rejoice just over one sinner that returns. God's word is waiting. It's ready to instruct all those that would come. Oh, when we're drawn by the cords of love, when our hearts are melted by the word of God, let us respond. Let us bow our knee. Come to him. Come to him. Bow your heart and your knee. Turn from darkness to light. But the reality is this. Sadly, many reject the gospel offer. The Lord Jesus tells us that they are those whom the king's servant bade. They invited. The king's servant said, come to the royal wedding. But they made light of it. And they went their way. In our day and age, I suppose more than really any other day and age, there are countless millions who have heard the gospel. We live in an age where we have internet, where we have internet on our phones. And at the click of a button, we can listen to a gospel message. In ages past, Bibles were scarce. Bibles were illegal. But today, we all have a Bible in the house somewhere. Today, most of us have a Bible on our phone. Oh, how can we not respond? We have heard. Let us not make light of what we hear. Let us not. The gospel message is available. But man feels no need to respond to it. No hunger for it. No thirst for it. They don't receive it into their hearts. They don't realize that they are lost. It's a terrible situation to be blinded and not realize that you are lost. When we were a young family, we went to a fair at a school. And they had many activities for children. And our boys were present with us. They had a coconut shy over there. They had coconuts lined up. And you would throw a tennis ball at the coconut. And if you knocked it down, you'd win a prize. And this was wonderful for the children. They were so excited everywhere. And I remember one of our boys, he got lost. And we were worried. We were looking everywhere for the boy. We were going from stall to stall. We couldn't find him. We didn't know where he had gone. And then eventually I found him. And I said, you're lost. He said, no, Daddy, I'm not lost. Look at these bikes, Dad. Can I have a ride on one of these bikes? You see, the amusements were present. Something had amused his mind. He didn't even realize he was lost. And friends, that's what Satan does. He amuses our minds with things that we don't even realize that we are lost, that we don't even realize we are in need of a savior, that And maybe it's he causes our business to succeed. Maybe we inherit some money and we think everything's okay. We don't need the Lord. Oh, but we do need the Lord. We are lost without the Lord. It's a terrible situation to be so blinded that you don't even think that you are lost, that you don't even realize that you are lost. Satan knows what will amuse your mind: money, power, position. Well, search your heart, friend. Search your heart and take heed. Have you heard the gospel? Has the gospel at one time or another pricked your heart? Have you thought to yourself, I must respond? Or have you made light of the gospel? Have you pushed it aside? Have you neglected this invitation to the feast? Oh, this neglect of the invitation to the feast will kill multitudes upon multitudes of people. Multitudes will find themselves in hell, not because they didn't obey the Ten Commandments, but because they refused what Jesus Christ had done on the cross for them, because they made light of the truth, Christ Jesus, who died on the cross for them, has been neglected. The parable shows us another truth. Let's look at it from another angle and catch one of the sparkles from that gemstone. And this truth is, the parable shows us that there are fake believers who will be detected and exposed and eternally cast out. They had a righteousness of their own wedding garment. This showed that they had no respect for the king. I'm good enough. I don't need to repent. I don't need to take on the robe of righteousness. The guilty man in this wedding, when the king came to meet the guests, he saw this man who had no wedding garment. And this man, he had opportunity. The king came to him and said, friend, how did you get in here? Who let you in? How did you get in? And he had opportunity to bow his knee and ask for forgiveness. But when the king came, the Bible says he was speechless. The original Greek says he was muzzled. He had nothing to say. You know, I've witnessed to some people, and they are so arrogant and full of pride. They say, when I get to heaven, I'm going to ask God. I'm going to tell God this. I'm going to say this. I'm going to say that. No, let me tell you, when you stand before God and you're not born again and your sin is not forgiven, you'll have nothing to say. Your heart will condemn you and you will be muzzled and you will be silent and you will fall before his feet. This man was muzzled. He stood disloyal to the king. He knew he had been disloyal. He knew that his heart convicted him, and he didn't need to be accused. He was already guilty in his own eyes. He knew that he was guilty, and he didn't even ask for mercy. Isn't this a terrible picture of the pride in man's heart? Here he is in his last moments, and he's still too proud to fall on his knees and ask for forgiveness, ask for mercy. Sadly, pride had made him incapable of repenting of his wrong, repenting of his sin. He wouldn't even bow his knee in the last moment. And he must have hung his head in shame as the master looked at him. Terror gripped his heart as he heard those fearful words, bind him hand and foot and cast him into outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. What a terrible position to be in. What a terrible position to think you're saved and then just find out that you are not. This is what this is a picture of. This man thought he was in. He thought that he was going to enjoy the wedding feast, but he was never, never saved. Oh, friend, we must give diligence to make our calling and our election sure. We must never be like this man. The question is this: have you got a wedding garment? Have you put off the old and put on Christ Jesus? May we never rest, never, never rest until we are new creations in Christ Jesus. May we never rest until we are transformed, translated out of darkness into His glorious light. How can we say, let's be honest, how can we say we are Christians and we live in darkness, walk in darkness, love darkness more than the light? No, friend, something is wrong. Something is wrong. Every tree is known and recognized by its fruit. Every tree. If you look at a tree outside, you can know instantly that's a banana. Why? You can see the fruit. You know it's a banana tree. And the scripture says that men do not gather figs from thorn bushes, nor do they gather grapes from a bramble bush. Ask yourself, what fruit is seen in my life? Is the fruit that's seen in my life, is it God honoring? Is it God honoring? Does it bring glory to my Father? Does it provide evidence that I am the Lord's? Do I love God's word? Do I love His commands? What is my attitude towards sin? Do I love a particular sin? Do I really enjoy some particular sin? And really, if I'm asked to give it up, oh no, I don't want to give that sin up. I enjoy that sin. I love that sin. I can't give that sin up. Would you be willing to give it up? Are you ashamed of that sin? These are the questions that we must ask ourselves. If you are truly saved, friend, you will hate every sin, every sin. You will want to put it off. You want nothing to do with it. Say, oh, it's just a little sin, just a small little sin. Does it matter? You know, I'm just enjoying a little bit of sin. Let me ask you something. If we had a puff adder, a big one and a little one, which one do you want to bite you? The big one or the little one? No, no, none of them. I hate all snakes. I don't want any snake to bite me. And I hate all sin. And I don't want any sin in my life. I put it off. I put it off. Oh, this man who thought he was a believer, he had a righteousness of his own. He thought he didn't need the righteousness of God. He thought he could get into the marriage supper of the Lamb. He was a hypocrite. He talked so much about Jesus Christ. He talked like the scripture said. He said, Lord, Lord. And everybody looked at him and thought he was a Christian. He was known by so many people. But the truth is this: he did not do the things which the Bible commands. He was a hypocrite. He was only a Christian with lip service, but his heart was far from the Lord. And what happened to this man? He was stripped of everything. And all false appearances were exposed. He was without excuse. He was condemned without hope. Friends, many are called, but few are chosen. We see that not everyone, whether they be Jew or Gentile, a hearing of the outward preaching of the gospel is not what saves us. It's not what makes us Christians. Only those who have made him King, Lord of their lives, who have inward obedience to the Lord, who are doers of the word, whose souls are towards the Lord. In other words, only those who are totally surrendered, who have died to self, who take up their cross daily and follow him, will be the ones who have a wedding garment. In the way of recapping, we saw that people made light of this precious invitation. We saw that there were false professors trying to get in, sneaking in. And we saw that his grace was so abundant that even although the invitation was at first refused, he sent messengers again. He sent messengers to invite those who least deserved it. It was an invitation of pure, pure grace. It's an invitation to the bad. It says to the bad, to the good. And really what this means is, it means to the lowborn, to the highborn, to the poor, to the rich, to the whole spectrum of society, the invitation goes forth. Come to the wedding feast. I begin to draw to a close. If you've spent your life rejecting the pure gospel of grace, if you have spent your life making light of this invitation, consider once again, in grace, pure grace, the invitation comes to you once again. Come to the wedding feast. Come. You would expect the king to say, let humanity be lost. But no, great is his love toward you. Great is his love. He calls you again. Come to the wedding feast. Friend, may he move your heart today. May he melt your heart until you are convicted. None of us is worthy. None of us is worthy to be invited. The king will come and give you a wedding garment. You'll be washed. Washed of all your sins. You say, I come just as I am. It's a picture. Let me try to paint it for you. You're coming to the wedding. You are dirty. You haven't washed. Your clothes look like rags. They are stained. And the king takes you to a special pre-wedding chamber. And he takes off the old robe. Well, first of all, he washes you clean. And then he takes off the old filthy robe and he puts on a robe of righteousness, pure and white. And then he bids you come to the wedding feast. And when you come, you look noble. You've been made noble by the king. You didn't deserve it. There was no good in you, but his goodness has changed you. His goodness. Oh, friend, the gospel is wonderful. It is a feast of good. Christ is a glorious king. He's a blessed savior. The one being honored, the Son, is the one being honored. His good. Everything about this invitation is good. And the best news is this: you too, no matter how bad you have been, will be made good when your soul accepts the invitation of the gospel that is offered to you today. I close with this. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, and whoever does not believe will be condemned. Believe the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. We now pray. I pray from the bottom of my heart, may the Lord Jesus Christ send His Spirit amongst us to make this call effective to our hearts. For His name's sake. Amen. Let us close by singing together this wonderful hymn. And I ask you, as you sing this hymn, let us survey the wondrous cross. I want you to look at the cross and ask yourself, have I received what Jesus Christ has done on the cross for me? Let's sing hymn number 243.